Joining us on Front and Center, he's a regular on our program, we're so glad to have him, is the Executive Communications Director of the Better Business Bureau serving Connecticut, Howard Schwartz. Howard, welcome to Front and Center.
Thanks so much. Nice to be with you, Dan.
We've got a lot of ground to cover. Let's start with cybersecurity for just a moment. October, National Cybersecurity Month, and that's something which we can focus on year-round, not just in the month of October. But there's so much out there. One of the facets we'd like to get into, I know you can address, is marketers using billboards to gather our info. What is that all about?
Yeah, well, the marketing and watching what we're doing is not new. If we have an app for a given store or a mall and our Wi-Fi is on, they know where you're going, which aisle you're in, perhaps which product you're buying. And there are security cameras and all types of other things, as well as emerging marketing technologies such as facial recognition. A lot of people are uncomfortable with this type of thing. But now what we have, and I honestly don't know how long it's been going on, but not more than a decade, is we're getting smart billboards. So if it feels like someone's watching you when you're driving, you might just be right. And what happens is these billboards, we don't know how many there are in Connecticut right now, but people are surprised the extent that we're being followed. We drive by a billboard, and again, if our phone Wi-Fi is on, then they will see your car and they will record where you're going, when you come back, how long you're spending, basically shopping habits. And when they put that together in a matrix with the information that they gather in the stores from, they say it's not personally identifiable indication, so it might not say Howard Schwartz or Dan Lavallo, it'll have a serial number, but they pull all these things together into a profile. And I think one of the things is we just didn't know about it. And if we're walking by a billboard, it can similarly pick up information about us. Now, the billboard system just is called Radar, and it's the result of collaboration between a bunch of companies. There are about 675,000 of these billboards in countries around the world. And, you know, though many of us know that our computers track us and we have our free mobile applications, it isn't a free ride because, for example, on smartphones and tablets, a lot of the free apps want access to our contacts and other information from our devices, even though those facets are not necessary to the app's operation. So it's very important. So the data mining business is growing. I don't think it's totally unexpected, Dan, in as much as people are getting wiser about not leaving tracks on the internet. And there is a senator from New York, Chuck Schumer, who's urging the Federal Trade Commission to look into what he calls them spying billboards, because he is worried about the sales of our marketing information. And he says that it's important to protect us from what he called invasive data collection, and that consumers should be given the option to get out of billboard tracking. So what we can recommend is, in terms of data tracking in general, try different browsers. Google them, because there's some browsers offer you what are called extensions or add-ons, and these are free little pieces of software that will allow you to block ads and take out marketing, if you will, marketing robots from your computer. So check a couple of them, Chrome or Firefox or what have you. Look for those add-ons. Check your privacy settings, and particularly in things like social networking, but on your devices as well. Now, you may have a button that says Do Not Track within your privacy settings, and it'll the other thing is disable your location settings. And if you do all that, well, the billboards and everything else, unless we're on Wi-Fi using a store-specific app, they won't be able to find out where you are. And you're being told not to be, you're telling them not to be tracked. And finally, this is something not a lot of folks do and really should. When you're finished online, and especially at this time of year because it goes so many places, people should be clearing their browsers. Now, what this means, and it's under the options menu on all browsers, And what it does when you close your browser down is it gets rid of all of the cookies, most of the cookies. It gets rid of your browsing history. It gets rid of all of the elements of the web pages you visited. For one thing, those gunk up and slow down your computer, but also it makes it more difficult to track you next time you go online. So if I visit 15 stores today and I don't clear out my browser cache with one click of a button, that means next time I go online, well, my social media will start following me again and tracking, and so will anyone else. So it's clear your browser's cache, and you'll find it under Tools and Options. We are being watched, and I think that hopefully we will be given something more of a choice than not even being told that we're being watched by an electronic device on a highway, public area.
You know, this is unbelievable. It's like our cars being scanned by the law and our license plates being scanned. Essentially, you're saying that these billboards are doing the same thing if we have the Wi-Fi of our phones on.
What I suppose I'm saying is if you ask the average person if they knew about it, they would say no. And the people I've spoken to looked at me with indignation, having no idea whatsoever. The license plate technology, we know that the police routinely will record license plates for a number of reasons. And again, the facial recognition thing can be used to identify criminals or people who've been shoplifters. But when it's other people having their pictures taken with security cameras and they use software so that face can be recognized in other places, that's a potential risk. And frankly, I don't think most folks are sanguine or happy about the idea of that happening.
But if we keep our Wi-Fi off in our phones, will the billboards pick us up, these smart billboards?
Apparently not. I do not believe they tap into your data on your smartphone or tablet. They tap into your Wi-Fi. And one of the things that we tend to do is we leave our Wi-Fi on all the time. And as you do, you show up to people who can see who's actually active online. And we know, for example, we shouldn't, because of Wi-Fi risks, we shouldn't be doing public transactions, not public, but financial transactions in malls or libraries or anyone else, because you simply don't know who's watching you. So, yes, the Wi-Fi is the way that they get into your phone.
I always, by the way, make a habit. I shouldn't say always, but I've gotten into the habit, Howard, anytime I leave my home, making sure that I have turned the Wi-Fi off.
And that's interesting because I do the opposite. I'm starting to change. And the only reason I do is in case my phone is lost or stolen and whomever it is does manage to crack open the phone, I want to be able to see it on Find My Phone, one of those apps, so I know where it is. I'm not saying other people should do it. That's me. They may just sell the darn thing. It is a good idea. Turn off your Bluetooth when you don't need it. Turn off your Wi-Fi when you don't, because these are all radio signals. And radio signals are easily intercepted, unfortunately.
The only radio signal that's good out there is the one that people are listening to this interview right now.
Oh, that's right. Actually, there's four of them.
That's right, four of them. By the way, I know that Better Business Bureau is urging shoppers to be careful in stores as they are online. How about talking about that?
Yeah, let's start with the stores. And we generally think about the high-tech types of crime and fraud. And so that means we'll be very careful online. But there's some, the majority of fraud and ID theft and robbery actually is low-tech. 80% or more is done by crimes of contact. So I suppose the best way to explain it is from the time that you get out of your car, cross the parking lot, go to the store, go back to the parking lot, and so on, you're vulnerable. And the criminals are hoping we are, that the key word here is distraction, and the criminals are hoping we will be distracted, and that they can either, unfortunately, they can mug you in the parking lot, depending where what time of night it is or day, and steal your packages, or hopefully not assault you. But next time you're in a checkout line at a store, it's interesting, if you look around, you'll notice people who are texting, and they're on the phone, or they're staring out into space, thinking about nothing. And very few people are actually watching their purses, their wallets, their credit cards. And pickpockets and purse snatchers are alive and doing very well, thank you. And so what happens is by the time we get to the cash register, we pull out our credit card and we hand it over. We may not even be looking at the card. or cash. Well, someone can come in, watch the cash register, and just grab and run when that card's handed over or it's cash. So Better Business Bureau is urging people, just be aware of the space around you and remember the tried and true methods of stealing do present a significant risk to us. And as far as online is concerned, this is probably, I would think, one of the things that I govern my online shopping by. Very busy at this time of year. But the key when you are doing online commerce is, number one, where are you going? Number two, what are you doing there? What are you buying? And number three, how are you paying for it? So let's take those one at a time. How did you get there? Well, if I see a well-known camera that I want to buy, and it's at a price that pretty much everyone else has it, I'll then start clicking through looking for that model on other websites, and I may find it at a significantly reduced price. But if I've clicked through six or seven websites, I may not know exactly where I am. And if it's not a secure site, or if it's a rogue site that's been set up during the holidays, they may steal my credit card, they may burrow their way into my computer, or who knows what. So keep it, first of all, whether the site that you end up on, if the price is that good, if it's way too good for a brand name product, you know that it's probably either a knockoff or you may get nothing at all for it. You want to make sure you can find these guys if you've got some sort of way to get hold of them. Two more things. One is check them out at Better Business Bureau to see whether or not there are any complaints and what kind of pattern. And the last thing is, whenever we're on any site, whether it's certainly when you're paying, when you're giving personal or financial information, look up in your web browser's address bar. And normally we see HTTP and then www.wdrc or Talk of Connecticut. What we should be looking for is HTTPS and a little padlock next to it. And what the S means is secure. And that means that the folks that you're dealing with, that you're giving your credit card number out on the other end of the phone, are taking necessary measures to help protect your information. Essentially, HTTPS scrambles the information between your computer and the folks you're buying from, so that if somebody should tap in and try and get that information, they're going to get a bunch of gibberish. So be very careful. Make sure that you know where you're going. In terms of what you buy, the price may be very low, but check out the shipping and handling, and you might find it's more expensive than the first place you went to. And the third item we mentioned was how you pay. And you should not be using a debit card, because they can empty your account if they get that information. We also would strongly recommend any type, against any type of untraceable payments, such as wire transfer or preloaded debit cards or gift cards, that type of thing. And we do see that a lot on the internet from unscrupulous buyers. Either use one of those escrow companies or use a credit card. The credit card gives you that protection, so you don't have to fight to get your money back during a dispute. So go out there, enjoy yourself, go shopping, make sure what you've got, how much it'll cost all told, and that the site is secure. And hopefully it'll go very smoothly and quickly for you.
Talking with Howard Schwartz, Executive Communications Director, Better Business Bureau, serving Connecticut. We saw the attack on the internet recently, Howard, and, well, it affected Twitter, it was shut down for a while, Netflix shut down for a while. A lot of website services were hit. What can you tell us about that?
Well, that was an interesting thing, Dan, because the biggest outages did affect those websites, things like Spotify and some of the ones you mentioned. I don't know whether that was the intention or if they were just customers of the particular company that got hit. Let's explain how this happened and how we as individuals can prevent or help prevent these widespread outages. This is what's called a directed denial of service attack. And in plain English, it means it's the equivalent of 20,000 people calling your telephone number at the same time. It's going to overwhelm maybe even the local substation, but it's going to be a problem. Well, with a denial of service attack, hackers will use a huge network, an immense network of personal computers or business computers that might be infected with this specific malware. So when this was carried out last week, and by the way, it was one of the biggest internet slowdowns of its type, unprecedented, a lot of the computers that were helping to do this were computers like yours or mine if we'd have had a piece of malware in there, and essentially that the hacker activates it, and then we start sending out emails unknown to us to help overload the internet. And that's what happened in this case. So I think this underscores the importance of us keeping our computers safe, because the way we can prevent becoming part of this, we can stop enabling these folks, is to, first of all, not only have anti-malware, anti-spyware, but you have to update it at least once a week, preferably every day, but you've got to scan your computer. And a lot of folks will just leave it in there and think they're protected. And again, the reason for this is if we click on something we shouldn't in an email, an attachment, or a link, it can download various types of malware. And we've seen some of which will destroy your files, or it will hold you hostage, a number of things. But this one, rather than collecting your personal data and snooping through your computer, this, when it's called to action, wakes up your computer, and then you're just joining all the others that are unwittingly being used for this. And I think this also makes the case for turning off our devices at night. It'll certainly help. And without all of the other computers that the hackers are relying upon, it hopefully won't be as widespread as this. I think the most interesting thing is to find out what the investigators are learning about this. And you can have no doubt that, especially with the discussions about the potential of foreign hacking, but more specific to what's important to our audience now, is the effect on commerce. And if we are getting our shopping done, whether it's now or any other time of year, and the internet goes down, well, we rely on it very heavily. And obviously, it's going to be a big problem. So turn off your computer at night, check it for spyware, malware, and practice safe computing. That ought to help.
Howard, along the lines of computers and telephone calls and scams and that sort of thing, what's the latest as far as IRS call centers are concerned? Because we knew that that was a big scam, some of these calls. What can you tell our audience?
Indeed. The Internal Revenue Service imposter scam has been the most prevalent for almost 2 years. You get a call from someone pretending to be from the IRS saying that you owe money or fines, and that if you don't pay up over the telephone, they'll send a police officer to your door, which is patently nonsense, because if the IRS or any other government agency wants to reach you, they'll send you an email. Postal Service mail. Well, what's happened is these calls have been coming, obviously, from somewhere. And the good news, and this is very good news, is along with federal investigators from the United States, a call center was shut down last week in Mumbai, India, formerly Bombay. And when they went in there, they found 770 employees, 70 of whom were arrested. And these guys were working around the clock, 24/7, dialing numbers in sequence, 203-555-1112, 1113, until they'd eventually hit somebody and then scare them, brutalize them. So this call center was shut down. And we have a program at Better Business Bureau under Programs and Services, and it's a self-reporting program called Scam Tracker. And what happens is consumers will go on there, and they'll report a scam regardless of whether or not they lost money. And that way we can see across the country what are the scams that are prevalent, what are the ones in our own neighborhood. Well, according to Scam Tracker, we were receiving roughly 200 reports of the IRS scam to Scam Tracker every week. And that's really just a microcosm of probably what's being reported to government agencies. That has dropped from 200 reports a week average to roughly 11 reports in the past week, a decline of nearly 95%. So this really is a dramatic leap forward. What's going to happen next? Well, it's a little bit quieter in that respect, but you still have 700 employees who have that knowledge, and someone else may pick up the slack. But I would like to be an optimist and say, you know what, maybe this has run its course. Hopefully the consumer education has done its part, that the government will not call you and don't be intimidated by it. So This is very, very good news. Hopefully, they'll get more robocallers taken down. That is happening. The Federal Trade Commission has been working on that. And just be very careful of things like phony charities, people who may call you. We have to have a jaundiced eye at this time of year. If you want to give to a charity, you find one and don't give over the telephone unless you solicit the call. The same with political calls that might be asking for a donation. Don't do business over the phone. Go and find the political party yourself and give that way. And this, to a great degree, will spare you from losing money. Same thing with charities. And you don't want to become a double victim, both the folks who need the money as well as the donor. But again, this is tremendous news that they shut down that robocall center. Let's hope it gives us some peace.
I want to get to the, before we wrap up our interview, the issue with smartphones, particularly Samsung and the Note 7 in the battery, which led to some of these phones to explode, and now they're not even making them anymore. What can you tell us about smartphones in general, and if you want to talk about Samsung too, but in regards to when we get a smartphone, about batteries, about that aspect of the purchase?
Yeah, certainly. Well, Samsung was not the first smartphone maker to have this problem. And folks don't remember that probably the best known smartphone maker, its competitor, was having its phones catch fire and explode. And the reasons that they were giving the company was that people were not using charging cords made by that company. And they said, don't use second market or market gray market products or the $10 cables. Well, that's what people do. Whether or not that was causing the problem is open to discussion. When you look at the Samsung Galaxy, I don't envy any company that has to issue a recall or has these horrible things happening. And even when Samsung updated it to make it safer, those were catching fire too. So the point I wanted to make is about the batteries. Now, the lithium-ion batteries, and folks who are old enough like us to remember, the first rechargeable batteries were nickel-cadmium. Well, these days, we have to pack an awful lot of energy into a very, very small space. And it's believed that what happened with Samsung is there was a manufacturing defect in the batteries. And they're pinched very close together, these layers. And if there's a fracture or a hole, liquids will leak, short out the battery, and it'll catch fire. So this is also a reminder, first of all, if every time you drop your phone, there's a chance you might harm the battery. But this is the most important piece of information that I can give you with a smartphone. Don't ever make a telephone call while your phone is plugged in, regardless of whose cable you're using or how you're doing it. Just unplug it and then plug it back in when you're finished, because that'll save you from having some of these horrible things happen to you.
And before we wrap up our interview, something else, I know we've touched upon it on occasion, but it's particularly important now as we enter the holiday shopping season, how anyone can learn to negotiate and, in fact, why we should try. What can you say about that?
Oh, we don't realize that we negotiate every day, everything from with our colleagues to finding out we can go on vacation, and to our children, who, by the way, are very good at negotiating when they want to stay up longer, those types of things. First of all, we should understand that negotiations are not just about lowering the price. It's about getting more for your money or eliminating something like a late penalty fee, for example. Now, we have the mistaken belief that a price on a tag is a final position, and it really is not. So, for example, if you have a home contractor or a repair project, once you get your estimate, examine it and look for areas with wiggle room. Ask about it, and this might include modifying the price structure for the labor or changing the design or the quality and cost. Some business people may not give you the extra goods and services for free, but they might give you a break on a favorable payment schedule. Or I know, and sometimes you can walk into a hotel and simply say, are any upgrades available, any free upgrades? And I would say 8 times out of 10, they'll say, sure, we'll give you this room. It's empty, no reservations, take it. It's a penthouse or what have you. If you don't ask, you'll never find out. And perhaps the last place where negotiation is most important is when dealing with utilities and companies. And a fast example happened to me was that my wireless company and I was having some disputes with them. And what happened was I wanted to get a better deal as well on the service that I was getting. Now, if I was to go and start bullying them, well, that's not negotiating. Instead, what I said was, you can see I'm a loyal customer. We know that this is a very competitive business. How can we make this a win-win? How can you make this a win-win situation for us? And that works a heck of a lot better than saying, I'm going to leave you or you guys are terrible. That's negotiation as well. So don't be afraid of it. Understand and check how many times you actually do negotiate. And it never hurts to ask. And nobody's going to judge you by it.
All great stuff. Howard, how can people read up more on this by going to the Better Business Bureau website?
Yes, our website is bbb.org/CT. And you can call us at 860-740-4500. And we'd be happy to help you. And specifically, the things, Dan, that you and I talk about are in the news center on the left side of the page, of which I'm very proud because that's the material we use, you and I.
Howard Schwartz, Executive Communications Director, Better Business Bureau, serving Connecticut. As always, Howard, thanks for joining us on Front and Center.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dan.